Half a world away from Michigan, public health authorities are watching closely to see how the end of an extended holiday break might affect the spread of the new coronavirus. It has infected more than 40,000 people globally and killed more than 900 people. Michigan has no confirmed cases yet, but within the casualty lists, keep an eye on the state's manufacturing businesses. A number of Western Michigan manufacturing companies have experienced production delays and stoppages because of the public health situation in China. Peter Hungerford is the COO for ADAC Automotive, a supplier with offices in Troy, Saranac, and Grand Rapids. Peter Hungerford, welcome to Stateside.
Well, thank you very much, April.
Can you tell me about your company's relationship with factories and supply chain in China and how you work together?
Sure. Well, over the years, we have an alliance called the VAST Alliance, and we have two facilities in China that produce automotive components, not only for the China automotive market, but we do have some export from those regions to support our North American customers as well.
How many Chinese companies would you say you interact with?
Quite a few. Our primarily we have some chrome plater suppliers and some tooling providers. And over the years, we've moved some of that production there. We bring it back, and slowly we've been doing some more tooling and chrome plating supply from the Americas.
When did you start hearing about the virus?
Actually, we heard about it from some of our Chinese colleagues. You know, we've been doing business over there, for over 10 years now, and for some of our tooling suppliers, even longer. So we had heard rumblings that there was some health concerns over there, and as we began to interact with our Chinese colleagues, we began to learn how serious it was.
I read that ADAC actually had someone in Wuhan during the initial outbreak.
Yeah, we did. We had one employee who was there on business and then was there for an extra week on holiday. Fortunately, this person found a less populated area to stay until he could arrange travel out of the country. This person finally made it onto a flight arranged by the U.S. Embassy and is currently in an Air Force hotel until the 14-day incubation period's passed.
So you still haven't seen him yet?
We haven't, but we've talked to him. We know he's safe.
What were you thinking when you heard that he was under these constraints, that there were roadblocks, that he was having trouble getting around, and just like actual physical constraints on his person as well as to the business?
Well, first we wanted to ensure he was safe. When we heard that not only the hotel he was staying at, they evacuated that, but there weren't other places for some other people to stay, we were really worried about his safety and was he going to be able to find a place to, you know, kind of get out of the population, be able to then continue to have communication and begin to coordinate with the U.S. Embassy. So fortunately, where he ultimately ended up, he did have cell coverage, and I personally talked to him only a few days later, and he felt safe, which made me feel better, and he had already made arrangements getting onto the U.S. Embassy website, getting his name in the queue, etc. So knowing this person and the time that they have spent in China, fortunately, he had the resources and the means to get himself in a position to stay safe and get home.
At what point did the quarantines and other measures in China start to affect the business's operations?
Yeah. Well, you know, for many automotive suppliers, many of us have global supply chains. You know, China continues to have very competitive suppliers for components, electronics, and tooling. Since the factories and the trade shops have stopped working, you know, we're evaluating our supply and our project timing. This week, we're expecting work to resume, but it could take another 1 to 2 weeks before full production resumes. Therefore, you know, with the lead time to ship components and tools of 6 to 12 weeks, you know, we're working on contingency plans on, you know, can we find alternative sources of supply or can we get the tools out earlier, et cetera. So for us, you know, we have been working with our suppliers over there, validating we have supply, but it is time that we begin to finalize these contingency plans.
Are your partners in China able to tell you anything about, you know, they say, you know, you may be able to come up with some workarounds over the next couple of weeks, but are they able to tell you anything from China about when they'll be back in production?
They are to some degree. This week, I think, is a big week for us. By the end of the week, if we have even half the teams back producing product, whether it's our own facilities there or with our supplier partners, you know, that'll say a lot. The most information we've gotten up to this point is what the requirements are to open the facility, get people back into the plant, and get the operations back up and running. Up to this point, literally up until today, you know, the facilities were all shut down, so we were not sure when exactly production was going to start. But we do know, talking with them, that they have people in there cleaning the facilities, and this week production should resume.
Yeah, we'd heard that Chinese companies were encouraging employees to work from home when possible. That's fine for an office job, but this just sounds like a completely different ball game to enforce in the manufacturing sector.
It is. You know, without people coming into the facilities, having time on the machines, building parts, and then shipping parts, you know, things don't get done when they work from home.
Can you tell us a little bit about what it looks like to find some other supply chain options? I mean, does that literally mean quickly forging some alliances with manufacturing companies in other countries?
Yeah. Well, fortunately, you know, there's been a lot that's been gone on with, you know, frankly, geopolitical issues. So we've had some forethought into trying to mitigate our risk there. China is and will remain the largest automotive market in the world. So our facilities there are going to continue to produce, continue to serve that market, and probably continue to serve the greater Asia market. But as we look at the amount of production and supply that comes from China to either our European colleagues or our North American operations, we've already taken some steps to mitigate that. Therefore, we have some suppliers that we can go to. The big constraint would be the tooling and ensuring that the product that we produce from a different location meets the requirements of our customers, where, you know, in a vehicle, they can be pretty sophisticated and have to be very reliable. So that's the bigger challenge, the lead time to get tooling, the lead time to ensure the proper validation is taking place with any product if we were to set up an alternative source of supply.
Peter, do you feel like you've had to become experts in public health at ADAC, which is, at the end of the day, a manufacturer of component parts?
A little bit. You know, I myself, for about 2 weeks, was monitoring the World Health Organization, the CDC, looking into what does this mean, comparing it to SARS. And, you know, to some degree, until you're in the middle of it and it really affects you, you don't take the time to get into some of the details. And we have, to some level, had to learn about these things so we could try to predict and get out ahead of it. I'm glad we have, but now I think there's a lot of information regarding it, and we're, you know, clearly following and almost solely following the CDC website and their travel advisories.
You know, I heard what you said, that there are some measures that the company is taking to come up with alternatives, both in the short term and the long term. But what happens downstream from ADAC if you can't fill orders?
Yeah. Well, in the end, we could have our customer supply or our customer plants that have to be idled, right? And that's not just an ADAC thing. They have a multitude of suppliers that are all doing the same thing. So we're all working very, very hard to find this continuity of supply to ensure that their facilities can keep running. That's our number one job, is to protect our customers, to protect their production. You know, we've been through a lot of challenges in my career and as an automotive supplier. And we seldom think about what would happen if we can't supply. And I'm pretty confident we're going to find a way to ensure that we do protect our customers. As somewhat uncertain as it can be, we have an industry and team members and supply partners that always find a way. So I'm going to believe that we're going to find a way through this too if it gets even more severe.
In your experience, how would you say this rates with some other stoppages for other causes that you've been through?
Oh, on a scale of 1 to 5, this is probably a 3.5.
What are you keeping an eye on as we move forward and the Chinese government hopefully, you know, continues its effort to keep the spread of the disease to a minimum?
What I'm watching more than China is India. You know, somehow because we have business in India as well, if this continues to spread and it gets into a country like India, it's going to be an even bigger issue. China, in my opinion, is probably one of the only countries in the world that can actually shut down cities on a short notice, simply because of the centrally planned government. A place like India, criminy, even in the U.S., can you imagine us trying to shut down Chicago? I don't think that would work very well, but China can do it. So I'm kind of watching to see, is it going to get outside of China and spread in other countries?
Well, Peter Hungerford, thank you so much for talking with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Peter Hungerford is the COO of ADAC Automotive.